You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But I feel like I'd annoy the wrong people. So, like, how did it come about for you to be on The Apprentice?
So, I knew that I wanted to launch a business and I needed an investment. So a lot of people go onto The Apprentice with a business that's already launched and then they go to Launch Sugar to get an investment to scale the business up. I hadn't even launched my business. So I literally needed it to start up. So when I went into the application process, knowing that I was like quite a unique situation, I didn't expect to get on. So I was like, I'm going to go in, get some experience from the interviews and, you know, have a good day out. And then I kept getting through the stages and I'd been to like 6 or 7 interviews and I was like, bloody hell, mum, I might actually get on this show. And she was like, well, just keep going and see. And then they gave me the call and said, you're going on the show. And I was like, oh my God. I was so shocked.
I couldn't even think about what your reaction would be. Like, what actually happened when they told you you were going to get on it?
What's really funny is my mum applied for the very first series ever of The Apprentice. And
oh,
she
nice.
Was the one that told me to apply. So I think she was like living her dream through me.
We
so
love
when
that.
I called her up and I told her I could get on the show, she was literally like screaming. You know on X Factor when they tell them they got through to the live shows and the family's like jumping around? That's what my family were like. But I remember going through the stages and you honestly is such a rigorous application process. I had to go to like 10 or 11 interviews to get through. And I remember each time that I was getting through, I was like, I'm actually going to make it. I'm going to get onto the show. And then when it hits you that you're going to get on, oh my God, I can't even describe it. It was just the best feeling.
So what kind of things did they ask you when you were going through the process?
Oh my God, there's so many things you have to do. Like learning about the different application processes, you have to do like one-on-one battles with people in terms of like business tasks. You have to talk to the camera and do interviews. You have to pitch your business, do presentations. So there's kind of two aspects to it. They look at like the personality side and the business side. So you kind of have to like be a balance of both, I think, to get through.
It's like a really weird situation. It's not just like a like on Dragon's Den when you're looking for investment. You live together.
Yeah.
And like you have to be around these people all of the time.
So we went for 2.5 months living in the house together, sharing a room, sharing a bathroom, going through that whole experience. You don't have your phone for 2.5 months. Like you can't listen to the radio. You can't watch the news. All you can do is just be together like in your spare time.
But you're allowed out and about, no?
No, we weren't either because we actually filmed ours in COVID. On our days off, we literally had to just stay in the house as well. But that was some of the best times. Like we'd have barbecues, play games, go to the cinema downstairs.
All the bits they don't want to show.
Yeah, all the bits that they don't show. But it's so intense. So every day you have to get up at 4 a.m. You're back at like 12 o'clock at night. You'll do that for 5 days in a row, go to the boardroom, and then you have 1 day off. And on that one day, you're like doing your fake tan and ironing your clothes. Like, you do not have much time to even socialize.
Do you know what? At least you get that. Because I remember like my makeup brushes being like clammy because I didn't have time to kill.
Really? So what was it like for you in Love Island? Like, how did that work?
It was basically the same. Yeah. The same as you, but just without the like business stuff. Yeah. And obviously you guys have rules about being intimate with each other. We don't have those rules.
That's encouraged on the show that you were on, believe it or not.
But like, how, surely there must have been bits that were going on behind the scenes.
So
there's no way you could live together for 2.5 months and nothing happened.
Honestly, I think everyone was too tired to even pursue that. And also they're so strict about the production. We have separate floors. So there's a women's floor and a male's floor, and you're not allowed to like go onto each other's floors and things like that. And they try and keep you as separate as possible. You're not allowed to drink alcohol the whole time that you're in the process in case.
Not even one glass.
So if you win, you get one glass of champagne. If you win, one cheeky glass.
Push the boat out.
But aside from that, they're like, you're not allowed to drink alcohol because they don't want people to like get intimate with each other. The alcohol may lead. So it's really strict. But when you're in there, you're honestly just concentrating on winning. You don't really have time to think about if you fancy anyone because you're probably going to go up against them in the boardroom anyway. So
I guess that's true. I guess you guys have the business like thought about the end, like this is going to be the rest of my life. Like my business is going to start from here.
The conditions don't really lend to like romantic interaction because you're in there to like go against each other.
It's like building flat pack furniture though. If you can get through that, you can get through anything, right?
Funny, because that's actually one of the stages of the interviews to get onto the show.
Oh, is it?
Building backpack furniture.
I'm great at that. Maybe I should apply for The Apprentice.
You know what? I think you should apply for the next one. You would be really good.
I'd have to really think hard about a good business idea before I do that. But your series made history as the first all-female finale, and you were in that.
Yes. So we were the first final four girls on Apprentice history. So that was quite iconic. When I went in and I met the girls, I knew straight away that it was going to be a predominantly all-girl final because the girls were just so strong. What I loved about our series was we all helped each other so much. Like the girls really formed a bond. In previous series, it's quite competitive, but instead of kind of competing against each other in like quite a negative way, all of the girls came together to support each other so much.
That's really nice.
It was so nice. Like in the first couple of episodes, I was so nervous, had massive imposter syndrome, and Harpreet, who was the winner, basically like took me under her wing. And like when the cameras weren't rolling, she would like encourage me and tell me I was doing really good. And like a sister.
Oh, that's
and
no,
it
that
helps
really nice.
So much like in that initial process when you're getting used to it.
I guess it's one thing is with women on shows like this, they never want to show you guys coming together and being competitive in a constructive way. Yeah. It's always that you're catty with each other about each other's appearances or like really random niggly things.
And I think that because of the way The Apprentice is, we're competing against each other. There can only be one winner. Generally, the production expect that that is going to create arguments. It means that people are going to go against each other. But with our series, we proved that you can be in competition, but you can still support each other and bring each other up.
Yeah.
So it's people found it hard in other series to kind of go into the boardroom, kind of battle against each other, you know, point out people's flaws and where they've gone wrong, and to leave it in the boardroom and be okay when we came back into the house. But the way that we dealt with that was when we were up against each other in the boardroom, we kept it above belt. Mm. We would only comment on the facts of the way that they'd performed in the task, and we never went personal. We never criticized people personally, never went against each other's businesses. And that's the way that we kind of kept the boundaries between a friendship and still being in a competition. And also, because we were such good friends by the end, like we wanted to support each other. Like it got to a point where that almost went beyond the competition, and the bond that we had was just amazing. All the girls now are still my best friends. Like,
oh, that's really nice.
I call them up all the time for business advice. We go on holiday together. Like, we are still so solid.
I love that actually, because I think at the same time, even though you guys are up against each other, you still have the same battles, not just on the show. Outside of the show. So when I did my little bit of research about you, I did see an article about you and fellow contestant Stephanie Affleck, both banding together to kind of go against trolls about, well, trolls that were triggered on you guys posting bikini pics.
Yes.
Which in 2023, I am baffled by.
I know. Why? Because I went to Spain last year on the beach. Does that mean that I'm not a good business person? It's basically kind of the consensus.
You took time off, went on holiday. I think that's actually really selfish of you.
How dare you? You're not good at business because you're in a bikini. You know, we're in an era now where business and social media is mixing. Like, you need social media for business. And I think that we need to leave behind this whole persona of a successful business person is in a suit and is behind a desk. You know, things are changing now. We're in such a social media world and it's 2023. Like, you can't judge people for that. And that was something that was very apparent as soon as we were released that we were going to be on The Apprentice. Like, you get a lot of negative feedback from people, which we were expecting, but it was still surprising to read. For example, they would say that the show was losing its integrity because of the candidates that it's choosing, that we've got no business ability, we've got no business acumen. They've never even seen one of us perform. They know nothing about our business.
So it's just when your pictures get
put and it is just the pictures and the assumption before they'd even seen us on the show that we're going to be the worst series yet. We've got no business ability. And all of that came from judging us by our appearance.
Was that a difference that you saw between the male contestants and the female contestants, or was it just across the board?
Huge difference, absolutely huge. I feel like you see that it is always the female women predominantly that get the most critique, particularly about their appearance. The trolls, even at the beginning when your photos are released, it's all mainly about the women and their appearance, as opposed to kind of like looking into our business, waiting to see what we have to offer, straight off the bat criticism. So I'm sure you had something that you were kind of like used to as well.
Yeah, like slightly when before the camera started rolling, we were talking about how, like, you know, how do you deal with it? Yeah. And I just said that I no longer have the energy to fight it. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to leave it to what it is. But how did you cope with it?
I think that at the beginning, so before you go into the process, the producers say to you, there's going to be comments on social media. How are you going to feel about that? I said, whatever anyone says about me, it doesn't bother me. But when it actually happens, it actually is a lot harder to deal with than you would expect. So when it was comments about my performance on the show and I'd made a mistake, I'd be like, fair comment. But when it does get to something personal, you can't help, even if you are thick-skinned, to kind of think about the things that people are saying. But what I learned was, no matter what you do, someone is always going to say something negative on the internet. So I just learned that there is absolutely no way to keep everyone happy, and I'm not going to allow other people's comments to stop me from doing the things that I want to do and pursuing my business and posting on social media. So you do just have to block it out. Like you said, I have no time or energy for it anymore because it's just so
boring. And it's surprising because she has a lot of energy. Like, so that blows my mind. But when you were talking about imposter syndrome, like, I've literally met you, what, half an hour ago, and to me you come across as the most incredibly confident person I think I've actually met in a long time. So when you said imposter syndrome, I was like, there is no way.
That's such a nice thing to say. But to speak about initially the beginning of The Apprentice, I had massive imposter syndrome, hugely. Going into the room, I remember obviously we had the eight girls and we were sat on a sofa like this. And I remember when the camera started rolling, I was terrified. I thought to myself, I'm not good enough to be here. I've been hired as like the personality hire and I'm not good enough in business. And all of these intrusive thoughts were coming into my head and I literally froze. And I was like, how am I gonna be able to compare to these girls? It was such a horrible feeling. And on the first day, I shut the door for my first night's sleep and just started crying. Like, I am not good enough to be here. And then I started thinking, none of these people know me. And the only way that they are going to be judging me is the way that I carry myself and the way that I perform. If I allow my inner insecurities to impact the way that I'm performing in the show, then they are going to know that I'm not confident and they are going to think that I'm not good enough to be here. So I remember thinking, I just have to fake it until I feel comfortable enough. So I remember going out and even though I was absolutely terrified, I was like, just show your confidence, just get your voice heard. And I kind of had to push past the imposter syndrome, just try and build the confidence. And then after like a few episodes in, I was like, okay, you know what? I am good enough to be here. And I kind of got past the imposter syndrome, but it was so bad at the beginning.
Like, a lot of people ask me all the time, how do I deal with imposter syndrome? How do I get my confidence level so high? So what was the like thing that you kept telling yourself to get yourself past it?
To get myself past it, it was honestly that knowing these people don't know me, and the only way that they will be judging their opinions on me is the way that I present myself. So I said, I cannot allow my limiting beliefs to block me in this process and to be detrimental to me. I knew deep down that I was good enough to be here, and I knew that it was just the fear of kind of being on the show and how much rode on this that was kind of impacting my confidence. So I just had to basically keep telling myself that I was good enough to be there, keep working on your skills and kind of putting where you know that you're good forward. And then my confidence built from there, basically. But again, imposter syndrome, you can read all the books and you can listen to the podcasts and you kind of know the actions that you need to take to get over it. But when you're actually in that situation, it's really hard sometimes.
It's like an illogic, it's an irrational fear, yeah, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Like imposter syndrome, because you've done 10, 11 interviews to be there.
Exactly.
But they do, I feel like the, like your Lord Sugar and his advisors, they really do take you down a few pegs when you're in there. Like you could walk it. I think if I walked in the most confident woman ever, I think I'd be like, okay, well, all of my confidence is now shot.
It's so funny because when I was speaking to the girls after we'd come out the show, we were like, yeah, before the show, I was really confident in myself. And for the first few months afterwards, because you have been told consistently for like 2 months that you're not very good, etc., as part of the show, we actually came out at the end like feeling really low in confidence. We were like, wow, not as good as I thought I was.
Yeah, because especially if you don't have, I always for some reason assumed that you had contact with the outside world. If you don't, and then there's no one to tell you that, no, you're doing fine, you're doing great.
In these situations, I call my mum for everything. I literally call my mum after every single day and I'm like, this is what happened, and she can give you reassurance. None of that. You are completely, completely on your own. Like you get one 10-minute phone call a week, which production listen to at the end of the week, but you're not allowed to talk about any of the challenges or anything like that. So it's a really rushed conversation with home.
Oh, I bet that that production person loves their job, because the one that listened to my phone call for my dad, I must have absolutely died, because he does not hold back on any of his opinions. So I don't want to imagine what any of the phone calls would have been like if that was
me
in that situation.
So when you were on Love Island, how often do you get to speak to home?
None.
None at all?
None. So like, at least you got the 10 minutes a week, because I could have done with that.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, I can like, it's, that's what I mean. Like that's why random thoughts and feelings and fears that you've never had before.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just appear out of nowhere.
And you just have to keep reminding yourself that this is just the way that your brain is wired, and you are the only person that can overcome this. And it's all about just speaking to yourself positively and making sure that you take control of the way that you're thinking and try and move past that.
Well, on the topic of people telling you you're not very good, you did have that happen to you on the show. Lord Sugar didn't hold back on his thoughts and feelings, because before you were on the show, you were what was your job title?
So previously I used to work in hotels, so I was front office manager and sales manager in a big hotel chain, so kind of like sales, front of house, customer service, etc. And then I left my job to go onto the show to propose this business to Lord Sugar. So on paper, I didn't have experience in drinks manufacturing as such. But, you know, I had confidence in myself that I would be able, with Lord Sugar's help, to launch this business. So when I went to Lord Sugar, I was basically pitching a business that wasn't launched. And that I had no experience in the field. So, you know what?
She really picked the easy route for herself.
I would say high risk for Lord Sugar is the way that I would describe my proposition.
Well, like, to be fair, the high risk comes with a high reward, right?
Absolutely.
So what was going through your head when he basically turned around to you and said that you shouldn't give up your day job?
So to go to that point, we had to go through the interviews, which is obviously quite the iconic episode of The Apprentice, where you have to pitch your businesses. And savage.
I've seen some savage clips on TikTok,
gosh,
to be fair.
It was a savage experience. So when you watch, you see about 10 minutes of each interview, but each interview is like an hour long of just your business plan being ripped through. Oh, I did cry.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
At least it wouldn't just be me.
Of course, it would be an interview without a cry. And basically, they just quiz you on every single element of your business plan. But you have to think, at this point, you've been in there for 2 months of no sleep, constant stress, constant test. You've been in the boardroom 10 times, like you're so tired. So by the time it gets to the interview stage, like you are quite drained. So when I watched it back, I was like, if I would have been able to go in with a good night's sleep and, you know, maybe a week off after a holiday, I would have smashed it.
But then it wouldn't have made as good TV.
No, not at all. So when you go into the interviews, they basically quiz you on every area of your business. And I think that it was clear that there were some elements to my business plan that maybe didn't add up, that I hadn't thought through. So Lord Sugar said to me before he fired me that I should go back to my job instead of launching my business, because he said he can't understand why I would leave a good job to go into a business where I didn't have any experience. And he said that I should understand that it's too high risk for him to invest in, which I do understand. But I also think just because you don't have experience in something and it's not what you're doing right now, it does not mean that you cannot achieve it.
Well, if we look at Jeff Bezos, right, he left a really good job, yes, to start selling secondhand books in his garage.
Exactly.
So,
and if you look at many entrepreneurs now and many business owners at the start of their journey, it's not the job that they had. And you know what? Were they the most experienced person? No. But did they have belief in themselves that they would be able to make it happen? And did they follow through? That's like one of the big things that you need to look at. In business as well, so many people are going to tell you that you're not good enough and to play it safe. I think even your family come from a good place of saying it's too high risk, don't invest money into something that might not happen. And they're only trying to protect you. But at the end of the day, you only have one life. And if it is a dream of yours to start a business, there's never going to be a right time. You're never going to be in the best position with the best experience to do it. But sometimes you just have to take the plunge and take the risk.
As well, you're really young.
Yes.
And like, you know, now's the time to, yeah, do stuff and, yeah, try things out and figure out what you like. But, yeah, you originally started off with protein alcohol.
So my initial business that I went on to the show was called Maintain the Gain. And it, okay, was alcoholic protein. So people kind of think that's interesting because they think it's like a protein shake, like a milkshake.
Yeah, that's what I had in my head. Like Tequila Rose, so, but stronger.
Instead, it's like, you know, like Wow Hydrate. So it's like, yeah, water protein, basically. So it's like juice, okay, but it was like 12 grams of protein and alcoholic. So my target market was people that went to the gym, but also liked to party. So, you know, that was quite niche.
Yeah, that's so, basically, I would have kept, yeah, the business afloat with sales by myself.
You and I between us, we would have been enough. But you see what I mean? There is a target market out there.
Yeah.
So there are people that go to the gym, care about health, but then like to drink on the weekend. So, okay, I was trying to propose this target market in The Apprentice, but unfortunately, they didn't think that this consumer existed. I know that it does exist.
She sat right here.
Yeah, it does exist. But they were like, it is just too niche.
Yeah.
Now that I've launched my new business and I'm a year on in my entrepreneur journey, I see that niche can be good.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you need to make sales and it is a volume game. So yes, it's good to find a gap in the market. But I think that that was too small for my first business to be, yeah, able to make it a success. So when I went back to the drawing board, I was like, okay, I need something that's more mass market to be, yeah, able to kind of scale the business to where I wanted to go.
Which is how you came up with Oomph.
Yes, Oomph is my new business.
Literally everyone in this room was like, if anyone should have an energy drink, it is you.
You know,
I don't even know if you need the microphone, to be honest. Like,
I probably shouldn't drink caffeine. My kind of natural base of energy is about here. But so when I came out of The Apprentice, Lord Sugar's advisors had obviously given me quite a lot of critique about the alcoholic protein. It would have been really easy for me to not listen and have tunnel vision and, yeah, kind of continue on my journey of launching my initial business. But I think sometimes in business as well and in life, if there's professionals that are giving you advice and critique, you need to take it on.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's difficult for your ego when you think that you're right about something and you may have to admit that you're wrong or admit that you failed. But in business and in life, failure is going to be inevitable. And I think when you look at successful people, it's the way that they have dealt with that failure,
yeah,
and they've dealt with that criticism that kind of makes them get to where they want to get to. So when I came out of The Apprentice, obviously I'd failed at the show. I didn't win. My business looked like it wasn't necessarily going to be able to get to where I wanted it to be. So I was a bit gutted. And I think it would have been easy for me to walk away and go back to my job. But instead, we went to the drawing board. We took on the advice of Lord Sugar's advisors. And we started again with a new business. So we looked at the energy drink market. And it was actually the same size as the alcoholic beverage market.
Okay.
So the ready-to-drink cans, basically. But our costs were going to be half the price because we didn't have to pay alcohol tax. And also we were going to be able to get to actually a larger audience because people drink energy drinks every day instead of just on the weekend, myself included.
No comment.
And we could also target people from 16 to 18 as well. Yeah. So our costs were half the price. It's more mass market, the product. And also I kind of wanted to be behind a business that promoted like health and wellness instead of alcohol. So the new business like fitted a lot more with what I wanted to do, and it's going to be hugely more profitable for us as well.
So how is, as an entrepreneur, how do you deal with that like sense of failure, like, oh, this might fail?
So I think as well that this is something that is just inevitable when you go into business. If you look at like Jeff Bezos, for example, or loads of big entrepreneurs, they've had loads of businesses that failed. I heard this statistic and it was like Colonel Sanders from KFC got rejected like 1,000 times before he was able to launch KFC.
Yeah, and it was really late when he launched KFC.
Yeah, and he was like 56 years old. So I think people look at successful businesses and they only see the end result and they're like, wow, that person was so lucky. Look at their business. But they could have had no's and rejections 15 times before that and they picked themselves back up. So when my last business had failed, I was like, okay, I have to admit defeat on that one. Let's go. And I didn't allow it to stop me from pursuing another business and launching that. So I just made sure that I didn't allow the failure to stop me from going on my goals and doing what I wanted to do.
So what would you say to a young entrepreneur that wants to start a business but has no idea where to start? Because it's a big task. Like, it's not just like, oh yeah, you just start tomorrow.
I think the first thing that I would say is you need to be aware that it's going to take a lot of time. I think nowadays people see like businesses on TikTok and again, they see like the end result. It's going to take a lot of graft and a lot of hard work, but do not let that stop you from doing it. I speak to so many people that have amazing business ideas and they talk about them all the time, but they never put it into action. Mm. And I think the first thing that I would say is just make a start. And then you are already better than 80% of the people who had an amazing idea but never followed through. And I think because we have TikTok business, Instagram business, like you can get so much knowledge about starting a business and about entrepreneurship at your fingertips. So I think if you do the research and kind of look into the business that you want to launch and just get started, then there's going to be a high chance that you're going to be able to make it a success. And also nowadays with like e-commerce, you don't need massive investments to be able to start a business. You can literally get a website, which you can make yourself. You can make a logo yourself and you can find some stock and some products and sell it on. And you can launch a business with less than £1,000 really easily. So if I was speaking to entrepreneurs that wanted to start a business, I would say the first thing is just look at how you're going to do it and start. Just take the first steps.
What about people that want to do The Apprentice?
People that want to do The Apprentice, I would definitely recommend. Like with me, I put my application in, not expecting to get onto the show, and it was the best thing that I ever ended up doing. So again, I bet it's the same with you with Love Island. You know that so many people apply, and you know that there's quite a lot of risk of going on, but you look back and it just brought you so many opportunities. So I would say to anyone, just put your application in and just see where you can get, because it's only going to bring a positive experience for you.
This is a really weird question. I saw an article about a potential foursome during your series. Is that true or was that a lie?
What? I didn't even hear about this.
Oh, okay, whoops. It might have been another series, but I literally typed in your name and some random foursome came up.
Oh my God, that's news to me.
Okay, well,
I'll do some digging though.
I was going to say, I was like, this is a really weird question to ask you, but did you ever force them on The Apprentice? Like,
sorry, no, I wish I could spill the tea on that
wrong
one.
Wrong show. No, but that's, it's weird. They put you on separate floors. They didn't take into consideration if anyone was gay.
Yeah, no, they didn't. No. And it was
Pride Month, guys.
It was so funny. There's like a lift, so we weren't even allowed to take the stairs. We had to take the lift up to the top floor so that we like didn't even cross past their doors.
I normally end the like podcast on a similar final question.
Yeah.
But I guess with you, I'm going to ask it twice, but okay, in two different things. Okay. So what would you say to Lord Sugar, who doubted your ability to be successful?
If I were to speak to Lord Sugar now, I would firstly want to say thank you for the critique, even though it was harsh and hard to hear. It put me on the right trajectory with my new business. So I would like to thank him for that. But I would also want to say that I've proved that I was competent enough to bring this to market. Just because you don't have experience, you can find the correct people to help you. So you can find people to bring on board in your development journey that fill the skills that you don't have. So I'd like to thank him for the critique, but also I'd like him to try my drink and then give feedback from that and show him that I did it.
Also, thanks, because you don't get 50% cut in my business now.
But if you want to invest, please, I'm still open.
The door is still open. Yeah. That's good. Do you think you'd ever revisit your original idea when you're a bit further down the line?
In the future, I think, yes, I would still want to. I do see a gap in the market still, and I do see that some companies are actually looking into doing something similar. So let's see, in a few years when we've scaled up Oomph to where we want it to be, I would still revisit it, definitely. It's got a place in my heart.
She's never going to let it go. That's any like stubborn businesswoman out there. You just don't let anything go.
Yeah, I know. It feels like my first child that I'm kind of like, I will do it.
And then what would you say to people in your past and people in your future that doubt your success based on the fact you're a woman?
I would say, I think that everyone deserves to be judged fairly based on what they've brought to the table and kind of the things that they've done. I don't think that being a woman should in any way mean that we should be underestimated. When I speak to people about my business and I say, so Oomph is my business, they'll say, oh, great. So yeah, who actually launched it or who did the development? I'll be like, I did it. They'll be like, yeah, but who helped you? And there's still a lot of surprise that women are launching businesses. And I just think that in 2023, it's time to move past that. Let's encourage women to be in these spaces. And, you know, let's just get as many female entrepreneurs out there as possible and inspire them.
Take tips from CU16, you know, the women just banding together. Yes. Because, you know, at the end of the day, just because you're successful doesn't mean that they can't be.
Yeah.
And you know what, actually, if you could just bottle up some of your energy, because I feel like I'm a lot more awake now than I was this morning. So if you can just bottle up some of that for me, that would be great. But I actually know I really enjoyed it. And I actually can't wait to see where the drink goes. And maybe when you bring your protein alcohol out, I'd definitely be on that gain train. So, but thank you so much for coming and for bringing your energy. My hairdresser is not going to know what hits her when I see her later. She's like, this girl is crazy. But no, thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Thanks, Sharon.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.